Thanks, everybody. You may be seated. All of our children can go with Miss Joanne and Mr. Mike, who are back there in the back waiting for you, to our Children of God time. For everyone staying in the sanctuary, take out your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. I mentioned in my prayer, this has felt like a message that's not been fully baked all week. And though I've put in my normal time of study and prayer and searching the scriptures, this has been really difficult. It should be a fairly straightforward passage. It's only five verses. It should be an easy thing to understand what the text says and what it means to us and how we apply it in our lives, but I've not found that to be the case this week. So bear with me through this, and if we take a little detour somewhere along the way, we'll trust that the Spirit is working in those moments. There are two types of people in this world. There are those who've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have professed a faith and belief in Him, who have accepted God's offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ, who have become children of God, as we sang about earlier in the No Longer Slaves song. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, and many of us have owned that for ourselves. We've realized our own sin. We've realized our own inability to stand before a mighty and righteous and holy God. And we've exchanged the sin of our lives with the righteousness of Christ. And in return, in that grand bargain, He's taken our sin far from us, as the psalmist wrote, as far from the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. In love, God sent His Son to pay the penalty for our sins. He is the Lamb of God who shed His blood in order to pay for the sins of all who would believe in Him. The two types of people in this world have a choice. Jesus can pay the penalty for your sin, or ultimately, the person can choose to pay the penalty for their sins in themselves. That's the second class of people that are in the world, the people who have not believed or received the message of Jesus Christ, who've not made it their own. And if they stubbornly, in a heart of heart, refuse that offer of grace that God has over of them, they will forever and ever and ever, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, bear upon themselves the eternal and conscious punishment for their sin. And so in our text today, God puts these two types of people before us. Paul calls one type the spiritual man, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and the natural man, those who have refused God's offer of grace and eternal life. Once a person becomes born again, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in him or her. We looked at that last week in John chapter 3, how Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was confused. He didn't understand. And Jesus had to teach the scholar that he required the power of the Holy Spirit to change his heart. Nicodemus knew the scriptures well. He was a Bible scholar. But he was still a natural man. He had not been changed by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit inside of him. Paul wrote about the change that came in him. He, in writing this text in 1 Corinthians, was a spiritual man. He was far from God, and he met Jesus, and he became a changed man on that road to Damascus. And he says, now, I'm speaking to you spiritual truths which I've been taught. Since the Holy Spirit lives in me, I'm now revealing to you the truth that was taught to me. And so Paul passed on to the Corinthians, and he passed on to us the very words of God that he inspired by his Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God, who redeemed Paul and regenerated him, caused him to write these words that are preserved for us today that we look at in our scriptures. And that same Holy Spirit uses it to convict us in our spiritualness. He says in this text that we have the mind of Christ. And so he uses these words to cause us to walk in his way. In our study today in 1 Corinthians, Paul describes the contrast of the spiritual person and the natural person. Let's look at our text. Verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In the five verses that we just read, Paul describes how a person goes from the natural man to the spiritual man. He says, how do we leave in this text, how do we leave our old self behind? Salvation, Paul teaches us in this text, comes to a person by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. People become spiritual by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to look no further than the church in Corinth itself to understand and see these words in action. Acts chapter 18 is the story of Paul's first visit to the city of Corinth. And while he was there, Luke records this for us in verse 8. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all of his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. Crispus heard the good news of Jesus Christ, that he was a sinner, that he was the Lamb of God who went to the cross and died a humiliating death, shedding his blood. Crispus and the other Corinthians that Paul led to know Jesus Christ, they heard the good news. They heard the message. Not all in the city of Corinth responded to that offer, though. Notice here, Luke tells us that many of the Corinthians, when they heard, believed, but not all. The whole city of Corinth was not converted. Some heard the gospel and responded with belief and ultimately being baptized. And baptism, by the way, as the text records us here, was a symbol of turning from sin. You know that when we baptize someone, we put them in the water, starting out standing up, and that standing up represents their life before Jesus Christ. And then we dunk them under the water, symbolizing their turning from that sin, that washing away, dying to that old sin. And then they're raised up out of the water, symbolizing being raised to new life, that the Holy Spirit has caused them to be born again, that there is no more penalty of the sin in them. Jesus Christ has taken on that sin. And so Paul taught them from the power of the Spirit that was in him. His message wasn't from human wisdom or from his own learning, which Paul was a scholar of the day as well, just like Nicodemus. But now the message from Paul was different because it was a message based on the Spirit of God. So the Corinthians hear directly from Paul, who's under inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Peter wrote about that in 2 Peter chapter 1, saying, no prophecy or word of God, the word there, prophecy in Greek, literally means scripture. No scripture was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And so Peter is talking about what he and Paul and the other inspired authors of Scripture were privileged to experience. The Spirit of God moved them along as they wrote his words. So Paul had a special revelation from God that started on the road to Damascus, and it wasn't based on human wisdom. It was based on a spiritual impartation from God. Now, let's be clear. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Maybe an illustration will help clear this up. I heard this week. Knowledge is that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad. Paul was knowledgeable. He knew the Bible, the Old Testament in his day. He knew it inside and out. He could quote it verbatim. In fact, he did in plenty of times. He did in our text today. Paul had lots of knowledge, but he had no spiritual wisdom. He didn't know, so to speak, that you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad spiritually. Spiritually speaking, many people will acknowledge there is a God. They, quote, know it. They have knowledge. They will look out at the stars. They'll see a beautiful sunset. They'll see the snow across the landscape, which we've experienced this month. And they will acknowledge that there is a God. Psalm 19, Romans chapter 1, Psalm 8. Many places in Scripture talk about creation revealing the majesty of God. And there's many people who can see creation and tacitly acknowledge there is God. That's human knowledge. But it stops there. It has not gone on to that next place where the knowledge that they have of the existence of a God has come into the place where it's an experience by the Holy Spirit of God that they now live transformed by the power of the Spirit. Many of these same people who will at least acknowledge there's a God, they don't respond to God's offer of salvation, even though they hear the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul was one of them initially, right? He heard a powerful sermon in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen, who was filled by the Holy Spirit, taught about Jesus Christ from the Scriptures. Paul had knowledge. He could hear the words that Stephen taught. And at that point in Paul's life, he was not ready for receiving it. It took a special revelation from God to change and transform him. Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Paul heard, but for a long time kicked against God and fought Jesus. But ultimately he broke down and confess Jesus Christ. This week, Brother Nate Wolf introduced me to a fine young man who's got a powerful story to tell, and I can't tell his whole story. It would take all day for me to tell the story. But Joey was like many of the people that we read about in our newspaper today. Joey was born in a very dysfunctional home, but one thing that his parents did was they took him to church. And there were seeds of faith sown into Joey's life from a very early age on. He was taught the Scriptures. But as he became a teenager and young man, he began to rebel, began to experience the drug culture, ultimately ended up near death on a number of occasions through his addiction. And one morning he woke up in a flop house. And the words of God, which a pastor sowed into him as a teenager 5, 8, 10 years ago, began to come to his mind. And he had a pocket full of money and his other pocket full of some drugs that he could have continued to use. But in that moment, the word of God that was sown in his heart took root. And he walked out of that flop house and began to be a changed and transformed man. Isaiah says in chapter 55, my word which goes forth from my mouth, it won't return to me empty. It happened for Paul. It happened for Nate's friend who he introduced me to this week, Joey. And we see it happening in people's lives every day. God's word does not come back void. And I'll just take a time out here for just a second and talk about that for a minute. I know some of you have folks in your life that you have been sowing the word of God into for weeks, months, maybe even years. And this is my encouragement, friends, to not give up. We can't make the harvest. We can't. We can't make them come to Jesus Christ. We can continue to sow the word of God in them. The Spirit of God is the one who causes them to be changed and transformed by his power. So let's not try and be God. Let's follow through with the responsibility, the commitment God has given us to share the gospel. And then leave it to the Holy Spirit to cause them to be born again. Number two, we're able to leave our old self behind by using discernment from the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 and 15 say this, "A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one." The natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness, Paul says. The natural man is the unbelievers. And the Holy Spirit has not opened their mind to understand it. It's foolishness. It does not make sense. They can't comprehend it. The wise men in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, had God's laws. They had all kinds of knowledge. They were super smart dudes. And yet God was in front of them in flesh. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was casting out demons. He would touch lepers and they would instantly be healed. And they saw these things. And it was foolishness to them because their concept of God was never a man who would touch a leper. Their concept of God was a king seated on a throne. They pictured a king coming on a white horse, riding and conquering the Roman Empire. And they saw a peasant in Jesus, a guy from a nondescript town. And it was foolishness. This can't be the king that God promised that was going to be a descendant. There's no way. If he really were God, he would not touch unclean people. He wouldn't go to the house of an adulteress. He wouldn't drink at a well with a woman of ill repute who had five husbands. He would not do that. They had all this knowledge of what the Messiah should look like, and they had their own concept of who he would actually be. And when they met him face to face, they were like, "Well, that doesn't match up with who I was expecting." Discount. Jesus taught about this in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the soils. He said the word of God is like those of us who sow into others. We're planting those seeds. And some of the seeds will fall on the hard path. It's the same seed that falls on the good path. Some takes root and produces a bountiful crop. Others falls on the hard path and never germinates and never comes to life. Hearts of those where the word of God is sown in, Jesus says, is snatched away by the devil who comes and takes that message away. That's not on us, friends. Our job is to be seed planters, to be sharing the gospel, and then leave it up to God in those cases, in those lives of those people who are going to accept it and receive it and sprout and produce a harvest. I could go into an operating room here in the York Hospital and stand with some of the best surgeons in the world and watch them do their craft. And I would be totally at a loss. There'd be forceps and speculums and all kinds of instruments there that I may even be able to recognize what the instrument is. But without the help of the nurses and the medical technicians, the person on the table would die if I were the only one there. I need somebody there that trained and has the ability and the skills in it. It's the same way of discerning what God has designed us in his plan for us. We need a tutor. We need an instructor. That tutor, that instructor for us is the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is talking about here. It's like me in an operating room. I'd be useless. The Word of God without the Spirit of God in the lives of people does not come to bear fruit. We can only be changed and transformed by the Holy Spirit. And when we do, here's the great end to this passage, this paragraph in our text. Jesus says, we therefore get the mind of Christ. Look at verse 16 carefully. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul here is quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. Just a little bit of a teaching moment. Did you know this? In the New American Standard Bible, when you see all capital letters in a sentence, that's an Old Testament quote. So a little clue for those of you that use this Bible translation. When you see that, you know they're quoting someplace from the Old Testament. So in this case, Paul is quoting the prophet Isaiah chapter 40. None of us can have perfect understanding of God's word. None of us can have perfect interpretation. None of us can have perfect application 100% of the time. But because the Holy Spirit lives in us, because he dwells in us, we're given the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit's presence. And so we can use the power of the Spirit that's in us to seek the Lord about what he wants us to do. Or as we're reading a text in Scripture, what that particular passage means and how we apply it in our lives. We have the mind of Christ, and we have to use it. We have to take the Spirit that's within us, listen to his voice, and put into practice those things that he calls us to. Let's talk about a couple of points to leave with today, put into practice or application for us. Where are you looking for wisdom? Are you going to the internet? Is that where you get your wisdom from? Some books, tapes, CDs, motivational speakers, podcasts, things like that? Or is the wisdom that you look for coming from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, imparted to us through the Spirit who speaks to us as we open his Word? In my newsletter article this month, I encourage you to be reading the book of Proverbs in the month of February, just like we read Psalms in January, Proverbs in February. The book of Proverbs is all about God's wisdom that was given to Solomon. And Solomon was passing it on to his sons. If you notice the beginning of the book of Proverbs, it's Solomon teaching his sons, here's the way of the wise and here's the way of the unwise. We take in God's word, have the mind of Christ in us. The Holy Spirit applies that word to our lives so that we can then walk in the Spirit under his guidance and direction. Secondly, are you living by the Spirit of God? Do you seek to live by the mind of Christ every day, or are you taking every thought captive in your mind? As Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians, you take every thought captive to the obedience because the mind of Christ is in you. My suggestion is daily ask the Holy Spirit of God to give you understanding of his word that you might live by it and apply it to the moments of your life. The Spirit of God, when you submit to him, will show you the direction and the path that he's calling you to go. The Holy Spirit who lives in you, who's caused you to be born again, will direct your mind if you submit to him and allow that mind of Christ in you to come forward. And finally, if you've not trusted in Jesus Christ today, then believe in him today. You've heard the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done. We are all sinners, myself included. We are in need of a Savior to cleanse us. And Jesus has come and done that for us. Jesus said to the people that he taught in John chapter 5, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. His heart has changed. He's gone from death to life. He's passed from judgment. He does not have to pay for his own sins. Jesus has taken it upon himself. And so if you've not trusted in Jesus Christ before as your Savior, then do it today. Trust in him, believe in him, and then seek out Pastor Jerry or me after the service today. We'd love to pray with you and share some things with you to get you started in your walk with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, as we look out across our world, we see so much brokenness and so much hurt. We see so much pain in the world. And we know that that's not the way you created this world. That's not the way you designed it. God, we see people who are living in their own wisdom, in their own knowledge, in their own minds. And they're headed down a path that's ruinous for them in this life, and it's ruinous for them eternally. God, we pray for all those who are far from you. And Lord, every one of us knows someone who falls into that category, who's maybe acknowledge that you're there, maybe acknowledge that your son came to this earth and went to the cross to die. But it's never become a personal reality for those people. And Lord, you've placed us in front of those family members or friends or co-workers with a purpose that we would sow the word of Christ into their life. So God, help us to do that. Help us to not become weary in it. Your word promises us in Galatians that we'll receive a harvest if we don't become weary. So, Lord, we pray for the harvest of souls. But, Lord, we can't do it, and we acknowledge that today. God, we pray for a great movement of your Spirit over these people that we've shared the word with. Lord, that you would show them the truth of your Son in the same way that you showed it to Paul, in the same way you showed it to Nicodemus, in the same way you showed it to young man Joey, in the same way you continue to show it to people in their lives today. God, help us to put on the mind of Christ every day, those of us who are spiritual. God, help us to live out of that mind of Christ, the renewed and changed and transformed minds that you give us. Father, take away the desires we have for the wrong path. And in its place, Holy Spirit, as you live in us, continue to cultivate in us the fruits that bear forth evidence of your power in our lives. And one more thing, Lord, as we think about this brokenness of our country, God, we pray in mercy that you would reach down the division and the divisiveness. It seems like every day it gets worse, and yet we feel it can't get any worse. How can it get more? So, Father, we pray that you would break out in a great wave of change and transformation and revival across this country. God, we can't change this whole country, but little old St. Peter's here at the corner of Yellow Church Road and Sitesville Road can change one life at a time as we meet and share the gospel with them and your Holy Spirit changes them. And Lord, we pray for the churches across our country would all do the same in their own little corner of influence. And as that happens and occurs, great change would happen in our nation as people are called to walk by your Spirit and by your word every day. Father, help us to not give up and help us to persevere and press on into it. Now, Lord, hear our prayers as Brother Jeff comes to lift up our time of intercession.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just humbly come before you. We thank you that we get the breath of life. Lord, we just thank you that we can come here and have the freedom to worship you, Lord. And we pray for those individuals that don't have that freedom, Lord. And now, Lord, we just pray for Dale Gable, who had a heart attack, Lord. on Friday. Lord, we just pray for him a mighty healing and pray for his family, Lord. Lord, we pray for Donna Doherty of healing from pneumonia, Lord. Lord, we just pray for Joanne Goodling, comfort and a peace, Lord. Lord, we also pray for Dawson Miller that has a croup right now, Lord. Lord, we just, on them healings, Lord, we just pray that you wrap your loving arms around them. We just thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the improving health with Jim Knob. Lord, I know it's a slow process, Lord, but the Holy Spirit, just touch him and let him keep his eyes focused on you, Lord. Lord, we pray for Paul Eccles, his cancer, and the doctors doesn't give him much longer to live, Lord. We know that life on earth here is minimal compared to eternity, and we thank you for you paying that ransom for each and every one of us. So during this time, Lord, we just ask that you comfort him and the family, and so that those individuals can keep their eyes focused on you. Lord, we pray for the Tom Wolfgang family as he has passed away suddenly yesterday, Lord. Lord, there could be a peace of understanding there, Lord, and just help individuals around that family, just comfort them and love on them. And Lord, let there be light through this, that they can see you through this, Lord. And Lord, there is only you. What is this grace that makes no sense? Who gives us all a second chance? Set the sky upon the hills and told the waters to be still. It's only you, God. There is only one God, and we're just so thankful for that. Now, Lord, we just pray for those individuals that weren't able to put a prayer on pink slip. Now, Lord, as we go out through this week, may we grow spiritually, Lord, as Pastor Tom has gave us the message this week, as we may draw closer to you, and Lord, that we can be the light and go out into the world. It's not about us, it's all about you. And in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.